success at that has been poor. What is the proof of it? The proof of it is self-awareness supposed to bring about the circumstances for you being more successful. That's what self-awareness should do. It should give you the circumstances for greater success. But instead of it giving us the circumstances for greater success, we reach the point of diminishing returns. When our people were made slaves, and the slave born in slavery, he said, "Oh, I don't think God, who made all the skies and all that I see, intended for me to be in this situation." He began to become aware of himself as a creature of God. Huh? And later on, that awareness, because some of them had the courage to tell the master, said, "Well, you may deem me to be so unimportant, so worthless, but I don't think the God who made the heavens and the earth intended for me to be in this situation." Some of them had the courage to tell the master that. And they began to require better treatment. Some of them even demanded it. Some of them lost their lives because they demanded it. Some of them didn't care. They knew they were going to die and still demanded it. Huh? Yes. Nat Turner and many others, The circumstances at that time when Nat Turner rebelled, the circumstances was slavery. Slavery. Emancipation hadn't come. The proclamation hadn't come. All right. So after that came another concept of self-awareness. Somewhere later in our history, we began to give ourselves to the interest of self as a race. The first interest was not self as a race, it was self as a creature of God. Will you agree with me? That's history. It wasn't self as a race, it was self as a creature of God. The next awareness was self as a race. That awareness brought us to black power. Huh? Black consciousness and finally black power. We came into that kind of self-awareness and took the same route that the white supremacists took. Those of the Caucasian people, the white, so-called white race, I love white people, they're white, I guess, under the pants, if not above the shirt. So they're white, I go along with it, they're white. Yeah, so the races among the white people, they took that path. They went from their occupation with themselves as a great people, as a race, and they carried it to Aryanism, and finally to Western-style Aryanism, white supremacy. We went the same route. Not all of us, but too many of us. And we influenced the state of all of us. Now, it's hard to talk to an ordinary audience, to a general common audience of our people, and tell them sensible things about race consciousness. If we don't come with the same kind of emotional stuff that they have been used to, many of them will turn their ear off. Some of them will even get up and walk out on us. Not that any of you all will walk out on me today. I'm not saying that. No, that's not the point to anybody walking out. These people are just tired and who never know what's going on. It ain't my business. Now, what we want to talk about for a few minutes is the nature of self-awareness in the life of man. Self-awareness should begin right where it began for our slave ancestors in the situation of slavery. They went to the right place. They had the correct self-awareness. The white man said they were cheap blacks, inferior humans, and they looked out at the universe and thought on the universe and thought on the one who did it, and they thought on the white man and looked at him and they thought on him. Said, well, yeah, he's in a better situation, but one-on-one, I'd whip his tail. I'd have him saying yes sir to me if the situation was different. That's what some of our strong bucks had going on in their mind, you know. Going on in their minds. So finally one of them started thinking on that, he said, it's just these circumstances that we're in that accounts for our state, our bad state of existence. God didn't intend that for us. He intended us to have the same freedom, the same dignity that the master has. And they began to rebel. That was the right situation for coming into self-awareness. That's the first step in self-awareness. We have gone off track. We need to read the Quran and come back to that self-awareness that our ancestors found in the situation, in the circumstances of slavery. Oh, yeah. That's the message that Allah brings to us for self-awareness. He says that I created all that you see in the heavens and in the earth. And I created you. And I made you in the most excellent model or mold. And you all have descended from one ancestor. None of you have a superior origin over the other. You all descended from one ancestor, and it didn't say Adam. But we recognize that it's Adam. Huh? But his name is not as important as his identity. His identity is Nafsim Wahida. The one original human personality. Huh? The one original human nature. The one original human personality. From that one original human nature and personality, Allah created a mate for him, for it, and spread from the mate many men and women. He said he caused the whole earth to be populated with men and women from that original human mate and personality. Huh? So that tells us without any doubt that Allah is saying we all are equal. If that's not enough, Muhammad the Prophet said in his farewell address, there's no address of his more major, more important, more critical for us if we want to stick to what he wants than that farewell address. When a man tell you, I may not see you again, I may not see you next year, I may not see you again at the major gathering like this, and then he begin to speak to you on issues, you with your common sense should recognize that what he tells you represents the most important concern. And he told them to stick to Allah, to stick to the Quran, to stick to his sunnah, to his way of living the religion. And he told them also at that same time, at that same great mass gathering, he told them that there is no superiority of a white over a black, no superiority of a black over a white, no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab, and no superiority of a non-Arab over an Arab. The only superiority is in how you perform before your Lord. All right. So if we want to gain by self-awareness, we have to go back to the first step in self-awareness. And once you come into that step right, oh, you're ready for progress. You're ready for progress. Our people had no problem progressing once they came to that idea of self-awareness. They eventually got the respect of all conscientious people, not only in the North, but also in the South. Many slave masters say, no, he's an intelligent human being, just like I am. I can't treat him as though he's a brute. He's my slave, but I don't treat him like no slave. He doesn't call me master. I make it possible for him to have decent clothes. I've given him a job that goes along with his qualifications. He goes out and he makes business deals for me. He negotiates sales for me. Don't you know some of the slave masters had slaves that they allowed to go and negotiate sales for them? This is history. In fact, one of them was a Muslim. His name is Omar ibn Said. He was like a secretary and a businessman for his master because of his abilities. And his master was humane. His master was civilized and recognized that he shouldn't treat a human being like a brute, like he's a brute. And one of the Western writer wrote about this, and in his book he said, this book is called The People Who Walk in Darkness. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. I can't recall the author right now. He's got a name that sounds German. German. I can't recall the name right now. Anyway, in this book, he says that the master asked the slave, Omar ibn Said, he asked him, he said, I'm going in the area of your people. He was going overseas. He said, is there something you would like me to bring to you? And Omar Said said, yes, bring me a Quran. Some of us don't know that some of the slaves were allowed to keep their religion because they fell into the hands of most civilized masters. He said, yes, bring me a Quran. And his master told him, under one condition, he said, under one condition, and that is that you also accept the gifts from me of the Bible. So Omar Said, he accepted that. He said, fine, I accept that. So his master brought him a Quran from overseas and also brought him a nice, fine new Bible. And this is all documented. Omar Said, because since I've said this in the community, one of the brothers went and did the study himself, and he found down here in the South, in North Carolina, he found evidence of this person's existence and proof that he was doing that work. Now, he, having with him a Quran and a Bible, began to do a comparative study of the Quran and the Bible. And he wrote on the Quran and the Bible. And it has, some of this script has been preserved even to the day. We have an Islamic heritage. Even though slavery cut us off from all past tradition and heritage, if we as free people now realize that we should have a place for Africa in our hearts, because Africa is our heritage, we should have a place for Africans in our hearts, Because they are from our motherland, they are brothers, they are the brothers and sisters of our ancestors. We have one common ethnic ancestry in them, our national ancestry in them, whatever you want to say, but after all, it's mostly ethnic. It's really cultural more than anything else. But if we can find an ethnic origin and we say these people belong to our line, our lineage, and therefore we should have, there should be a place in our hearts for them. After the white man has worked hard, I mean the oppressive white man, the oppressor, have worked hard to keep the truth of our Islamic past from us, and now that it has come to us, I don't see any reason to hold us back from building mosque Islamic culture in America to show not only the American white man, but to show ourselves, that we're not foolish. That just as the Irish, just as the Chinese, just as the Italian, just as all these other people who come here from other ethnic backgrounds and other ethnic pasts, we care too about what we had before you gave us this. Why, there are African Americans who go back to Africa and they bring bones. And primitive rituals to America. Say, we're going to preserve this. We once had this. Kwanzaa. What is Kwanzaa? Yes, Kwanzaa, I think it's called. Kwanzaa. They got a holiday of Christmas now. It's called Kwanzaa. And they go back and they bring nothing but really primitive stuff. But what I mean by primitive now, I mean an effort by the African man that did not bring him on the plane of high civilization. They bring that here, and they try to encourage Africans to identify with it. I mean, American black or African Americans here to identify with that, to cherish that, to preserve that. We have a religion that President James Madison recognized. We belong to a religion that the Moroccans identify with in. And the Moroccans have been respected by the United States for I don't know how many generations. They have been a friendly partner with the United States for I don't know how many generations. We belong to a religion that many among the white elect, among the white intellectuals, say is responsible for making possible the birth of science, the rebirth of science in Europe and all over the Western world. If that is our heritage, I can't understand why there is not more interest on the part of African-American intellectuals in preserving this history by building museums in America to show African-American Islamic heritage, by building mosques in America to show the past religious life, have a sign of the past religious life of many of the African-American people here presently. I can't understand why we don't move in that direction. Why there are Buddhists who will pay and devote money and even start the project to bring a Buddhist temple to America, to Los Angeles or somewhere, and build it up and show you the Buddhist temple. And they don't have to be Buddhists, but they are Chinese. And they identify in the past of their Chinese people. You don't have to be a Muslim to have an appreciation for Islamic past. You know your circumstances since slavery. You know your circumstances in slavery. You don't have to be a Muslim to appreciate African-American Islamic heritage. You should be spending some of your Christian dollars on preserving Islamic heritage for the African-American man. Yes! That's good sense. That's decency by yourself. Decency by yourself. Decency to yourself and your people. And the fact that we are not moving in that direction is proof that the white man still have us in some form of slavery. It may not be physical bondage, but he still has us in some form of slavery. If he didn't, we would be doing more to recognize the glory of ourselves and our past. You let Budweiser tell you about your great Islamic leaders. Yes, I see the picture of Muslims in their Muslim robes. Budweiser showing it to us. But Reverend Budweiser, here on DA, he won't wise up. Look, you people call yourselves Muslims. What I'm looking at right now, you call yourselves Muslims. You will never be respected by the immigrant Muslims as long as you remain passive before the great, great demands on you in America as a Muslim. I shouldn't be preaching this by myself. You all should be preaching it everywhere you are. And not only that, you should be joining me and encouraging me and say, Brother Imam, we're going to have to bring this issue before the Congress. I shouldn't have to be the one to tell you this. Once I point to the matter, you should be encouraging me. You should be pushing me. Saying, Brother Imam, we're going to have to take this to Congress. And tell Congress that maybe the reason for low African-American exchange and low performance on the part of the African-American community has something to do with us being completely oblivious of our past Islamic excellence. And to correct this, we want to have Islamic cultural centers showing artifacts and proofs of our Islamic past and our Islamic excellence. Put in museums throughout these United States, made available to the poor, downhearted, low-spirited black man in the ghetto. But instead, they introduce something they call black studies and try to hide, play down the role of Islam and end up making nothing but people who believe in animism. Give them the inferior thing from their past, the hit and miss efforts of their ancestors. We shouldn't tolerate it. The people who migrate here from the Western world, all of these European, American, national people that came from Europe, Irish, French, all of them, they have places to home for them, their past excellence. I'm driving along the expressway. There's the Polish Cultural Center. Chinese Cultural Center. I'm looking for the African American Cultural Center. I haven't seen it yet. We have an effort inside of the impressive building that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad secured when he was here. That has been the place for our Masjid Mosque there on Stony Island. We have stopped calling it a mosque and we call it a cultural center because it's really too expensive for a mosque. The Prophet told us how to get the work of a mosque going fast. You don't put a whole lot of money into it because it holds the people back. They can't keep going with the dawah for looking at the gold. So he built the mosque, first mosque, for the Muslims, the Kuba Mosque. Very simple, plain and simple building. Four walls, roof, plain, simple building. So he set for us the idea for a mosque building. You don't make it an elaborate place, don't compete with the Catholics and others in building cathedrals. But the Muslims flipped off course and they start competing with the builders of Christian cathedrals. And they had to build something more elaborate and richer than the best Christian cathedral. They got off path, they got off course. So we have that big, fine, rich-looking place there that's making us look ridiculous. We can't hardly pay our rent. Some of us on welfare. Most of us don't have any jobs. And we holding our meeting in something that the Rockefeller family ought to be having. Big old place, the ceiling so high, you look at $1,000 worth of gas bill going up in it in one day almost in January. Yeah, you turn the heat up one day in January. You look at it, it's almost $1,000 going up in this cathedral. To heat the dome. So I said, oh, well, we call it the cultural center. And I felt that we really work on making it a fine cultural center, Muslim culture, ethnic culture center, that we would get support for it from even the non-Muslim. It hasn't happened yet. We haven't really build it up yet so that it could be seen and attract support from outside of the Muslim community. But I believe that's possible. And we could have a fine cultural center there on 7351 South Stony Island, in the south side of Chicago, southeast side of Chicago. In fact, I wish that's all we had there. I wish we'd leave the lake shore. We shouldn't be that close to all that water. We should go on inland. Makes more sense. When you go inland, you find people that's trying to establish home life, family life, trying to establish business life. Over there where we are, the people are just playing in the water. So the first step in self-awareness is to see yourself in the order that Allah made, not to see yourself in the order that man made. The order that man made is class system, color conscious system, racism. Don't see yourself in that. Don't think race before you think human being. Think human being. And see your great value in the world of the human being. And no matter what your situation is, as a race, in a racist atmosphere, don't let that help hinder you. Don't let it hurt you at all. But move forward to advance the recognition, the validity and the respect and recognition for your human excellence, for your human value in the world of human beings. And if you do that, you're going to be working along two dimensions of interest. Your personal interest and also your interest in helping other people. But if you just think race, you do what our race is doing now. Working as individuals, caring nothing about the collective concern, working as individuals to race and get ahead of each other. Now, I'm not saying all of us are in this shape, but this is the shape of the African American or black community here. The shape of the black community in America is just that. There is not the presence of the collective concern and the collective effort. But each one is trying to race to get ahead of the other. If he can't do it lawfully, he will do it illegally. It's terrible. That's because our mind has come into the wrong situation. Situate our mind back into the reality that God made. Don't come into the mess that the white man has made. And then let your mind form in response to the mess that he had made. Withdraw from that mess. Every great mind had first to withdraw from the circumstances he found himself in before he could do a great thing. that first step is to see your human identity. Allah shows us the human identity in Adam. Was Adam a Muslim? To be a true human is the first step in being a Muslim. Adam was a Muslim. He didn't belong to some other religion. He was a Muslim. He had the Muslim nature. He didn't have the Muslim system. The Muslim system of religion came with Prophet Muhammad. He had the Muslim nature. And for that reason, the learned imams, the learned scholars, the ulama, members of the ulama, they tell us that all of us are Muslims in our nature. And they make such statements based on the Quran, the Holy Book, and based on the Sunnah of the Prophet, and their interpretation and understanding of it, sikh. Huh? Yes. They say all of us are Muslims in our nature. And do you know what I'm hearing from many Muslims abroad now? I used to hear it from just one or two. But now I'm getting it from many. I've heard it first from Jordanian, and I heard it then from an Indian, a Pakistani, and then I heard it from an Egyptian. Lately I heard it from an Iranian. You know what they're saying? That in spite of the condition of the African-American people, they are the people on earth today that are closest to their natural Muslim identity. You are not in the system of Islam that Allah revealed and established. No. But you, in your human makeup, you are closer to the real Muslim in his nature than most of the people on earth today. Now, that's hard to see looking at the condition of the majority of our people. But when you come to know them personally, you can see it. Because when they get the pressure of the fast, burdensome world off their back, oh, they say, are you sleeping in my bed? You don't have anywhere to stay tonight? Sleep in my bed. Huh? You don't have no food here? Come here. Say, honey, you ain't got no food. Take some of our butter. Take some of our flour. Huh? You want my wife to fix your dinner? How you gonna go home? Oh, wait. I'll take you home. Huh? And we had that kind of sense before Elijah Muhammad. Now, he must have had it before me. Yes. No kin to the family at all. But see a child destroy itself? Child, you shouldn't behave like that. Who's your mother? Where you live? I've heard that from our women. Who's your mother? Where you live? If I knew, I'd tell on you. You shouldn't be behaving like that. I know your parents don't want you behaving like that. The collective concern. Huh? Yes. See a stranger, never met him before. Embrace him. First day, first hour, the first minute. Huh? A stranger. Embrace him the first day, the first hour, the first minute. Meet him and you say, oh, he's all right. Embrace him. Take him home with you. Right? Yeah. Well, see, that's your Muslim nature. That's your true human self, which is your true human identity. I mean, your true Muslim identity in its nature. But upon that nature should illumine a vision of how we should advance that nature and build a great society, a great civilization. For that purpose, Allah revealed the Quran. He says, and he hath patterned man on the pattern that he made when he created the universe. Upon that pattern, he has given us the religion. It is the religion of the original nature, Deen al-Fitra, the religion of the original nature, the pattern upon which he patterned man when he made the universe. Even if you don't believe you have an inheritance or a heritage coming from Africa because of what your ancestors had before you came to America as slaves, or before you were brought here as slaves, once you know the idea of this religion, you perceive the logic and teachings of this religion, you being in the situation that you are in, a beautiful Christian religion, a beautiful gospel, but blocked against you because it's too Caucasian, it's too white, racially speaking. African-American people, you will never get up to compete with white America in Christianity. Because the white man that accepted Christianity was the white man that accepted white supremacy. And his design on the world is also to be found in the Bible. He situated himself in a position of advantage in the world. He situated himself as in the position of advantage in the Bible. The original man is white but black in his heart. Adam was a man doomed to sin. He couldn't avoid it. He had to sin. And all of his children had to be sinners. But they give you Adam as a white man, but his heart turned black. The same theology tells us that Satan is the black angel. And then along comes the solution to the first problem. It is a white man born without a father to be savior of all people. Oh, don't you all believe Jesus was born without a father? Yes, we certainly do. But we don't say he's savior to redeem all men because Adam sinned. We don't make him the savior for all men because his nature was right and Adam's was wrong. No. Our unity is first in Adam. And then our unity is in Abraham. And lastly, our unity is in the Ummah of Al-Islam. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And we accept all of his prophets. And we believe that they came from all colors, from all nations, from all racial makes. That's what we believe about them. The problem cannot be corrected. You cannot make Christianity work for non-white people. It can't be corrected. Because there's nothing in Christianity that corrects it. There's no help in Christianity for the situation. Maybe if Jesus would be quoted in the Bible as saying, There's no superiority of a white over black. No superiority of a black over white. No superiority of a Jew over a non-Jew. No superiority of a non-Jew over a Jew. Maybe we would have some help.
As-salamu alaykum. See you later.
Allahu Akbar. Kabir. 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 Allahu Akbar. I bear witness there's no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his apostle. This time, dear Muslims, we have some announcements. Those that are traveling, we know you combine your prayers in the area. Those here in the city, we do have the facility set up to make the Asr prayer. Inshallah, please make your prayer. Let me say this. Alhamdulillah for the beautiful afternoon. And I feel energized. Alhamdulillah. The Muslim's future is so bright. Someone told me that all Muslims should wear sunglasses. Allahu Akbar. The Imam's book, African American Genesis, is on sale. What you have just heard is on sale. Alhamdulillah, the brothers are able to give you exactly what has been said out there for a modest price. That's food outside to refuel, refuel yourself spiritually, make your prayers. Halal products, your meats, all your meats are halal, and your fruit to help the Sister Clara Muhammad School. I would like to acknowledge those brothers and sisters that helped us, especially here in Atlanta, the imams in the city. Okay. As-salamu alaykum. We need that attention. We need you to, inshallah, hold briefly, and inshallah, it will be 2 or 3 minutes. It is the conduct of the Muslim to keep your seat and show that respect. And I must call you to that account. It is Muslim conduct to hold your seat and not get up and exit and run all over the place. Inshallah, will be a couple of minutes. But I'd like to acknowledge those guests that we have. I would like to acknowledge those people who helped us put this, inshallah, this program together. The imams in the city, Brother Munir Kashlan, Imam Jamil El-Amin, Imam Fleeman El-Amin, the believers. We had a lot of help from the Christians. We had a lot of help from the radio stations in bringing this into reality. So alhamdulillah, I thank the believers, those brothers and sisters, the brothers from Final Call, helped us pass out flyers, helped us bring this effort into a reality. We have here a very special treat. Inshallah, after everyone takes a break, make your prayer and come back. But we have a beloved brother, beautiful scholar, a fighting Muslim, fighting in the jihad, fi sabilillah, and that is Brother Ahmed Didak. He's going to be here in just a little while, inshallah, to talk to the Muslims. When we heard that it was possible for him to be a part of this dawah effort, the imam automatically offered that hospitality, the facilities, everything that we could do to be here, make him welcome. Welcome, my brother. As-salamu alaykum. Brother Ahmed Didak. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.